Well, it's January 9th, the second Sunday of 2022, and because our God is an awesome God, and not only will triumph, but is triumphing as we speak, is triumphant in you, and purposes to triumph through you, because of that, we begin with the priestly blessing from Numbers 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In the words of Jesus, John 16:33, in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Amen and amen. For most of this year, and probably into 2023, if the Lord tarries, we'll be going through the Gospel of Luke. That series will begin next week, January 16th. Last week we concluded our Favorite Verses series, and this message is titled, What in the World's Going On? We began last year, 2021, with a 12-week series regarding current events entitled For Such a Time as This, and this message is effectively a one-off update to that. It's not a sermon in the strict sense of explicating a text or theme from Scripture. I'm not even like the men of Issachar, described in 1 Chronicles 12:32, who understood the times and knew what Israel should do, because although I think I understand the times, I am not sure what to do, other than communicate clearly and frankly, which is what I'm trying to do in this message. Give you my answer to the question, what in the world's going on? I sincerely wish I had happier news about our circumstances, but as you will see, I believe they are dire. I deeply appreciate the elders providing this opportunity, and what I say is not Shepherd Gates' official position or anything like it. What I say is not official anything. It's just my understanding of what's going on. And as I said, I'm not sure what to do about it. I've talked at length with only two people in this body about this. One is my wife and the other isn't. So I do not know where most of you are on the spectrum of ideas I'm going to share. I do know that what I believe is going on would have shocked me if you'd described it 2 years ago. And I don't know how many of you it may shock today. I don't know who's vaxxed and who's boosted. I am neither of those, and my understanding of what's going on is the reason I'm not. I'm going to say some things about the vaccines, which if you are vaxxed and have not heard them, you may find deeply disturbing. I'm sure a main reason we haven't talked frankly about this is the potential for conflict. Disagreement about what's going on is driving wedges between families, friends, and churches. Fortunately, Jesus did not say, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you are vaxxed. Nor did he say, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you are unvaxxed. He said, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So whatever's going on out there, our priority in here is, or should be, to love one another, even when we disagree. In fact, when you think about it, that's one of the times it's really put to the test, when we disagree. So Jesus tells me to love you, and he tells you to love me. It's a foundational principle of our community. And in light of my love for you, and your love for me, I'm going to tell you frankly what I think is going on. Some may hear and think, right on! Others may hear and think, you're nuts! Either way, you're still supposed to love me, and either way, I'm still supposed to love you. Amen? Amen. By the way, I usually speak about 35 minutes. This one will be closer to 45, but I don't think you'll have any trouble staying awake. Okay. On March 22nd, 2020, which I think was the first Sunday we didn't meet in person because of the virus, I preached a sermon ostensibly on Psalm 42, but more practically on the virus. Playing off a line in the psalm, Why So Downcast, O My Soul, the sermon was titled, Why Coronavirus, O My Soul. And in it, I said something wasn't right. The way I phrased it was, the response didn't fit the stimulus. Worldwide lockdown freakout, for what I said appeared to be no more deadly than the flu. I'm now going to quote about 3 minutes of that March 22nd, 2020 sermon, clearly marking when I start and stop. starting now, quote, "The response does not fit the stimulus. That much is obvious. Now, everything I've said so far assumes we've got good information, that the official public story is the real and complete story, and maybe it is, but maybe it's not. Though I myself am sane, some of my friends are crazy, and they've got crazy ideas about what's going on. And the fact that the official story does not add up inclines me to consider their crazy ideas. The political theories come from both sides. On the one hand, it's an attempt to oust Trump from the presidency, or on the other, it's his attempt to set up as dictator for life. Then there's the global elite and their pursuit of massive depopulation, or the deep state doing a dry run on their powers of social control. It's a long list, and we won't delve into it. I'll just note the suspects range from Bill Gates trying to take over the world to the Corona beer company doing a publicity stunt. I've got two important points about the crazy ideas. Crazy people are convinced they've got it right. They know what's going on. They know. Yet the crazy theories conflict with one another. Not only are they not all right, by definition, every one of them, except perhaps one, is wrong. But the absurdity of the official story forces us to consider the possibility one of the crazy theories is correct. Which one? That's a rabbit hole we're not going down this sermon. The other thing is, we've got to reconsider the possibility that the official story is true. But if it is, why doesn't it add up? Why doesn't the response fit the stimulus? We must consider the possibility that the answer to that is stupidity. Things may not add up because we've failed to account for stupidity. I think I heard this from Jordan Peterson, but he may have been citing somebody else. At any rate, what he said was, "It is a mistake to attribute to malice what can be accounted for by stupidity." On the crazy side of the scales, it doesn't matter which theory you prefer, they all assume malice, conscious, purposeful evil. But maybe, just maybe, everything can be accounted for by stupidity. And before you object, "No, they couldn't be that stupid," consider what else is going on these days. Stopping now, unquote. That was from March 22nd, 2020. Today is January 9th, 2022. 21 months later, and we're a long way down that rabbit hole. But at least we can tell which rabbit hole we're down. Or at any rate, I believe I can. As I phrased it in the message I just quoted, I've come to believe it is, in fact, the global elite in their pursuit of massive depopulation. Bill Gates really is trying to take over the world for its own good, of course. I believe this global elite, about which more in a moment, is imposing a sort of controlled demolition on the U.S. in particular, and on Western liberal democracies in general, though it obviously affects the rest of the world. And those effects will include and or result in a massive depopulation of the world, after which they intend to, as they put it, build back better. Build back better is the slogan for the Great Reset proposed by the World Economic Forum, headed by Klaus Schwab. And if you're wondering who's playing Dr. Strangelove in this scenario, look no further than Klaus Schwab. There he is. And if you find yourself thinking it's just a crazy conspiracy theory, I refer you to his book titled COVID-19, The Great Reset, published July 2020, in which he lays out the plan in politically sanitized terms. Quoting from the Amazon blurb, COVID-19, The Great Reset, is a guide for anyone who wants to understand how COVID-19 disrupted our social and economic systems and what changes will be needed to create a more inclusive, resilient, and sustainable world going forward. Klaus Schwab, founder and executive chairman of the World Economic Forum, and Thierry Malloray, founder of the Monthly Barometer, explore what the root causes of these crises were and why they lead to a need for a great reset, unquote. They envision a better world, with far fewer people, with far less freedom, consuming far fewer resources, producing far less pollution, and so on. You will own nothing, and you'll be happy. You will own nothing because the elite will own everything, And of course, they themselves will not be subject to the restrictions they impose on the rest of us. Who are this elite? In answer to that question, historian and political commentator Victor Davis Hanson said, quote, "They are a group with two themes. One is that their credentials or their education or their inherited or made wealth make them elite and allow them to talk down to people, and by top-down measures dictate to people in a non-democratic way what's good for them. And second, their power and influence and wealth mean they're never going to be subject to the ramifications of their own ideology. Capitalism made them wealth, but they don't want capitalism for anybody else. They want to close the attic door so nobody climbs in after them," unquote. Several cities in the U.S. are reimagining the police, and it's not going well. With their power and influence, the global elite are reimagining the world. And I assure you, the world they envision, by measures of goodness, truth, and beauty, peace, freedom, and security, the world they envision will be worse in every way. What they call Build Back Better will wreck the world worse. Now, it is vital for us to remind ourselves of the big, big picture. God is sovereign, and no plan of his can be thwarted. Ultimately, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. So even a controlled demolition to bring about mass depopulation, so even if a controlled demolition to bring about mass depopulation is being attempted, God's sovereign over it, as he is over everything else. We know the Bible predicts turbulent chaos at the time of the end, and this is certainly a step in that direction. So, as Isaiah 14, 24 and following says, "The Lord of hosts has sworn, surely as I have planned, so it will be, and as I have purposed, so it will stand. This is the plan determined for the whole world. This is the hand stretched out over all nations. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who can thwart him? His hand is stretched out, and who can turn it back? Well, neither Klaus Schwab, nor Bill Gates, nor George Soros, nor the devil himself can manage that. Amen. So it makes no ultimate difference to the success of God's plan. However, if a controlled demolition to bring about mass depopulation is being attempted, it does make a practical difference to you and me. Because we need to figure out what, if anything, God wants us to do about it. How we are to conduct ourselves in light of it, and I don't expect quick, easy answers, but we better start the discussion, because time is running out. The legislature of New York State is considering Bill A-416, which allows for the removal and detention of anyone who, quote, may be a danger to public health, unquote. I repeat, the removal and detention of anyone who may be a danger to public health. The sort of fools whose inability to assess risk got us into this mess in the first place are now considering fixing the problem they have created by invoking the ultimate state power, indefinite detention. No trial, no judge, no jury, no appeal, because there's no sentence. You're just being detained. You don't even have to be a danger to public health. Just maybe, could be. And guess which psycho-fascist would be empowered to make that decision? New York Governor Hochul, who on December 23rd declared racism a public health crisis, and whose administration on December 27th began allocating COVID treatment on the basis of race. From a New York State Department of Health notification, quote, "Amid a shortage of Paxlovid or monoclonal antibody treatment, only those of non-white race or Hispanic Latino ethnicity are authorized for the treatment because of systemic inequity," unquote. She's fixing racism, you see. And if you're white, you're racist by definition. And since she's defined racism as a public health crisis, and Bill A-416 would give her the power to remove and detain anyone who may be a danger to public health, Bill A-416 would give her the power to remove and detain you because you were white. See how it all fits together? I know it sounds like a low-budget sci-fi movie. I know if you pitched it to Hollywood producers, they'd say it was too pathetically trite, but I'm telling you, it is what's going on. vital to note here that, quote, quote, black or brown people are not doing this to, quote, quote, white people. They, the cabal, are doing it to we, the people, of all colors, and no small part of their plan is to have us at one another's throats. So don't fall for it. They're working to amplify any division, black, white, male, female, vaxxed, unvaxxed, but no matter what's going on, we know God calls us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Okay, I have in overview told you what I believe is going on. I'm now going to tell you how I reached that conclusion. And I'll begin by citing Dr. Michael Yeadon, Y-E-A-D-O-N, formerly chief scientist at the drug giant Pfizer, and on anyone's short list of the world's expert virologists. He said recently, quote, "When your government scientists tell you that a variant that's 0.3% different from SARS could masquerade as a new virus and be a threat to your health, you should know, and I'm telling you, they are lying. If they're lying, and they are, why are the pharmaceutical industry making top-up vaccines?" He's British, and top-up is their term for what we'd call a booster. "Why are the pharmaceutical industry making top-up vaccines? They are making them. You should be terrified at this point, as I am, because there's absolutely no possible justification for their manufacture. But they're being made, and the world's medicines regulators have said, because they're quite similar to the original vaccines, the ones that are being given now, we won't be asking them to do any clinical safety studies. I'm very frightened of that. There's no possible benign interpretation of this." He continues, "I believe that they're going to be used to damage your health and possibly kill you. Seriously, I can see no sensible interpretation other than a serious attempt at mass depopulation. This would provide the tools to do it and plausible deniability, because they will create another story about some sort of biological threat, and you'll line up and get your top-up vaccines in a few months or a year later. You'll die of some peculiar inexplicable syndrome, which they won't be able to associate with the vaccines." Unquote. Okay, there's obviously quite a truckload there. But I call your attention to the statement, "there's no possible benign interpretation of this." He's talking about what's going on with the vaccines in particular, but as far as I'm concerned, that phrase can just as well be applied to everything going on. On March 22nd, 2020, I wondered whether stupidity could account for it. 21 months later, it's crystal clear to me the answer is no. Stupidity cannot account for what is going on. There's no possible benign interpretation of this. Now I'm going to play four audio bits from four very different people. The first is from John O'Leary, a funeral director in Britain. The second is from J.P. Sears, a comedian, and comedy is especially important in our situation because authoritarians have no sense of humor, which makes satire extremely important to use against them. The third video is from a German member of the European Parliament named Christine Anderson, and the fourth is from Catholic Archbishop Vigano. I know sometimes with the audio and the accents, things can be hard to catch, so with this sermon I have posted a transcript of three of these four.
Hi guys, so just a quick update from me. For those of you who don't know me, my name's John. I'm a funeral director based in Milton Keynes. I run a funeral home called Milton Keynes Family Funeral Services, and a quick search online for that will find me and verify who I am. So many of you will know me, so I'll just give you an update as to where we are at this time, and it is the 6th of December. 2021. So what we're seeing is a large number, an unnaturally large number of deaths due to heart attack, stroke, aneurysm, and these are all as a direct result of thrombosis, embolisms in the lungs, the legs, various places that's causing these deaths. And these are well documented by the local coroners. These are well documented, you know, across the country. nobody seems to be concerned by the alarming rise in them, you know. I used to see a blood clot very, very rarely, and now I've seen more this year than I have in the previous 14, to give you an idea. I've written to the Chief Coroner of England. He isn't concerned. I've had no response for weeks and weeks, and then I had an email from his secretary saying he's not interested. There you go. This is the guy who's supposed to be protecting us from harm. So we're seeing those deaths. The other type of death that I'm seeing, which is more distressing for me personally, is people who are getting sick now as their immune systems finally give up. So they've had the jabs maybe 6-8 months ago, and it's been eating away at their immune system, and now they're struggling to fight off things like the common cold. So we're in winter, and as you'll be aware, there are colds and flus about in this time of the year. These people can't fight it off, and the government were very quick to label it Omicron, a new variant, you know, and they are sick, but they're sick with basic thing like the common cold. Their immune systems are decimated, and if you think about it logically, much like, for example, a cancer patient. So when you get a cancer patient and they're on chemotherapy, it decimates their immune system. And one of the things that they have to be extremely careful of is, because they've got no immune system, a basic cold, common cold or a flu can kill them. And this is what we're seeing now in these jab recipients across up and down the country. They're becoming extremely ill.
Hey man, I'm having some trouble.
What's wrong?
Well, you know how the world's been drastically changing the past 2 years?
No, I honestly haven't noticed.
Well, I'm finding it harder and harder to stay in denial about what's really going on.
Sounds tough.
Yeah, I want to stay more committed to being wrong rather than admitting that I was wrong. But I'm struggling because things are getting pretty obvious.
So you're having trouble staying in denial?
Yes.
Well, that's where you're going wrong. Denial isn't enough anymore. You need to be in denial that you're in denial.
Oh, so like two layers of denial?
Exactly.
So you're not in denial?
No, not at all.
Oh, I see. You're in denial that you're in denial.
Precisely. It's kind of like blissful intelligence, except it's numbness and not intelligent instead.
That's inspirational.
Oh, did you see the leader of the EU wants to get rid of the Nuremberg Code?
Isn't the Nuremberg Code that thing that was put in place after the Nazis' genocide of the Jewish people under the guise of medicine and science in order to protect the population from that same thing ever happening again?
Sure is, but I think now they're wanting to get rid of what protects people in order to better protect people.
Wouldn't that open the door for the same thing to happen again?
Probably, but I don't think that's the question they want us to ask.
What question do they want us to ask?
How many of those three scumbag white people that Kyle Rittenhouse shot in self-defense were innocent black people that he murdered out of hate?
I'd say at least 4.
If not 5. And do you see how when we're talking about things like this, you've already forgotten about that important question that you asked.
What question?
Now we're talking. That's great. I read the other day that Webster's Dictionary changed the definition of the word anti-vaxxer.
Hey man, reading's uninclusive to people who are too dumb to read.
I know. I'll write those idiots an apology letter tomorrow.
Great. What'd they change the definition to?
They changed the definition to include anyone who's against any law or mandate.
I could imagine that it's important to occasionally change the definition of words in order to stay consistent with the truth that the word was originally designed to represent.
Yeah, the new definition makes me think that totally sane people who just want their God-given right to freedom and body autonomy are insane.
They could be more insane, based on what the now less accurate dictionary tells me to think.
Hey man, what's that?
Oh, I just got the latest booster that was designed for 2 variants ago in order to protect me from the current variant. And now, instead of a sticker, they just give you one of these.
Looks cool. What's it mean?
I don't know, but they told me it's what I am now.
Powerful.
A lot of people are getting microchipped now.
Dude, that's a crazy conspiracy theory.
Dude, it's been 2 years since we've been saying that, but people are doing it now. It's reality. Over 6,000 people in Sweden got microchipped. It's literally Stockholm Syndrome.
Of course.
How'd we survive so long not being microchipped and tracked by dangerous people that lie to us?
I don't know, but could you imagine how convenient it would be not having to carry our papers and not having any freedoms because we got microchipped?
It would be delightful.
Oh, speaking of showing your papers, in Austria, now they've put unobedient, uninjected people into an indefinite lockdown. Even better than that, Austria passed a law that requires all citizens to be injected by February, and if they don't, they go to prison. I just wish they could be even more strict and more obvious with what they're really doing. What are they really doing? Well, obviously taking away all resemblance of freedom in order to protect their people from a disease with a very dangerously high rate of survival. You can only imagine what kind of dirt the cabal has on the Austrian leaders. Are authoritarian and Australian the same thing? No, Australia's the thing that the authoritarians have taken over.
That's right.
It's also the place where a long time ago they rounded up all the Aboriginals and treated them like they were less than human.
Oh, and they're doing that again today. I wonder if they like it now.
Well, I think they do because the Aboriginals recently sent out an SOS for international help against the current genocide they're facing because the now authoritarian Australian government is doing the same thing today under the guise of medicine and science.
This message goes out to the people in Australia. My name is Christine Anderson. I'm a member of European Parliament, and I'm answering your SOS call. I will do whatever I can to make it known to the world that your once free and liberal democracy has been transformed into a totalitarian regime which tramples on human rights, civil liberties, and the rule of law. I'm imploring all of you around the world who still think your governments are looking out for your best interest. At no point in history have the people forcing others into compliance been the good guys. The welfare of humanity has always been the alibi of tyrants. Do you not realize that this vaccine does not protect you from COVID? It does, however, protect you from governmental oppression. For now, that is. But don't think for even a second that this is not going to change tomorrow. I'm a German, and we once asked our grandparents how they could have just stood by in silence, allowing a horrific totalitarian regime to come about. Anyone could have known. All they had to do was open their eyes and take a look. The vast majority chose not to. So, what will you tell your grandchildren? Will you tell them you didn't know? Will you tell them you were just following orders? You need to understand, it isn't about breaking the fourth wave. It is all about breaking people. Australia does not need a no COVID strategy. What Australia needs is a no oppression strategy. So I stand in support with your fight for freedom and democracy. We need to stop our governments from transforming our free and democratic societies into totalitarian regimes. We need to do it now. We need to stand up now.
Dear friends, for 2 years now, we have been witnessing a global coup d'etat in which a financial and ideological elite has succeeded in seizing control of part of the national government, public and private institutions, the media, the judiciary, politicians and religious leaders. All of these, without distinction, have become enslaved to these new masters who ensure power, money and social affirmation to their accomplices. Fundamental rights, which up until yesterday were presented as inviolable, have been trampled underfoot in the name of an emergency. Today, a health emergency, tomorrow, an ecological emergency, and after that, an internet emergency. This global coup d'etat deprives citizens of any possibility of defense, since the legislative, executive, and judicial powers are complicit in the violation of law, justice, and the purpose for which they exist. It is a global coup d'etat, because this criminal attack against citizens extends to the whole world, with every very rare exception. It is a world war where the enemies are all of us, even those who unwittingly have not yet understood the significance of what is happening. It is a war fought not with weapons, but with illegitimate rules, wicked economic policies, and intolerable limitation of natural rights. Supranational organizations, financed in large measure by the conspirator of this coup d'etat, are interfering in the government of individual nations and in the lives, relationships, and health of billions of people. They are doing it for money, certainly, but even more. So in order to centralize power so as to establish a planetary dictatorship, it is the Great Reset of the World Economic Forum, the Agenda 2030 of the United Nations. It is the plan of the New World Order, in which a universal republic enslaves everyone and a religious of humanity cancels faith in Christ.
Okay, that's four very different people, different from one another, and different from us. But if this is in fact what is happening, our differences don't make any difference. We're all on the same side. I'm sure Christine Anderson's politics are very different from mine, but we're on the same team. And I haven't had a kind word for a Catholic archbishop since Fenelon died in 1715. But Archbishop Vigano gets it. In fact, he's one of the more eloquent spokesmen. I'm telling you what I see in the big, big picture. Obviously can't go into details and specifics, but you know the saying, never let a good crisis go to waste? It refers to any disruptive event, hurricane, flood, war, pandemic. Any disruptive event permits entities that want control. And we'd usually say governments there. But what's going on now involves entities above national governments. Very important to understand that. Quoting Archbishop Vigano, supranational organizations, financed in large measure by the conspirators of this coup d'etat, are interfering in the government of individual nations. So, they're taking these disruptive events to expand their control. Again, quoting Archbishop Vigano, fundamental rights, which up until yesterday were presented as inviolable, have been trampled underfoot in the name of an emergency. Today, a health emergency. Tomorrow, an ecological emergency. There he's referencing climate change, which, when COVID plays out, will be the next invisible, intangible, permanent emergency justifying endless control and oppression. Now, if you'd like more specifically detailed arguments about why the mainstream narrative is complete bollocks, I'll refer you to two Joe Rogan podcasts. For those who don't know, Joe Rogan hosts what I think is the most popular podcast in the world. Point of reference for baby boomers would be something like a combination of Chuck Norris and Dick Cavett. Although be warned, expletives are freely tossed around. Anyway, Rogan's has a mixed martial art background and is also a comedian, so he interviews a lot of MMA fighters and comedians. But he also interviews influential people like Elon Musk, Jordan Peterson, and Edward Snowden. About 3 weeks ago, he interviewed Dr. Peter McCullough, an expert cardiologist whose credentials I won't take the time to list. That's episode 1747. And 2 weeks ago, he interviewed Dr. Robert Malone. That's the guy who invented much of the mRNA technology the quote-quote vaccines are based on. That was released Friday, December 31st, and is episode 1757. So, if you want to hear a couple of medical experts cut through the BS, there they are. Joe Rogan, Dr. Peter McCullough, 1747, and Joe Rogan, Dr. Robert Malone, 1757. And for a brilliant comic summation of the whole thing, check out J.P. Sears. He's the comic in the second audio. Check out his video entitled Advice for Authoritarians. 15 minutes of painfully poignant comic relief. On the street level, for the regular person, one screamingly obvious thing is that from the start, the government slash medical establishment slash pharmaceutical industry never had the slightest interest in treating COVID. While it's turned out that early treatment is actually the key. Common sense measures and promising treatments were rejected or suppressed. Monoclonal antibodies, hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, for example. And in an even more bizarre twist, it's as if acquired immunity, surely the most relevant biological fact, it's as if acquired immunity does not even exist. It's just vaccines, uber alles. Vaccines, whole vaccines, and nothing but vaccines are the solution, in spite of the fact that the quote-quote vaccines are not vaccines. The CDC had to change the definition of the word for these experimental gene-altering treatments to even be called vaccines. Yet they remain the only officially approved solution in spite of the fact that they neither prevent you from acquiring nor prevent you from transmitting the virus. Think about it. Things that aren't vaccines, which prevent neither the acquisition nor transmission of the virus, are being literally forced on us as the final solution. Horrific pun intended. Stupidity cannot account for that. There is no possible benign interpretation. It is understandably difficult to get one's head around the idea that what's going on is intentional and what that intention is. Although if you know where to look, much of it has been public for some time. For example, a symposium held by the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security in 2017 their findings were published under the title The SPARS, S-P-A-R-S Pandemic, A Futuristic Scenario for Public Health Risk Communicators. They posited a coronavirus related to SARS would come to the U.S., shut down cities and terrify people, said there would be confusion regarding the drugs hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, and that it would be utilized to railroad the population into mass vaccination. The only thing they got wrong was the year, which they suggested would be 2025. Looks like we're running ahead of schedule. Well, today, January 9th, 2022, I wish I had more to say about having a happy new year. But to address a problem, you must first face it. And I am telling you what I believe the problem to be. I've come to believe an elite cabal is intentionally imposing a sort of controlled demolition on the world to be able to, in their words, build back better in a world with far fewer people in it. And I don't know what to do about it, but I would like to talk about it. We know that as believers our hope is not in this world, and that we're to conduct ourselves in a way that shows our hope is beyond this world. So let's talk. Let's pray, encourage one another to love and good works, and together discern how God wants us to conduct ourselves in times such as these, times in which in this world we will most definitely have trouble, times in which we must take heart, for He has overcome the world. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace.